Set your course for the Huff
Takes Podcast.
Welcome to Hoth Takes. I'm Eric Geller.
I'm Grace Seegers.
And I'm Haley Bird Wilt.
And in this episode, we're talking about journalism and media in Star Wars. It's obviously a subject near and dear to all of our hearts since we are journalists ourselves. And with a hotly contested presidential election coming up in just a few weeks, there's been a lot of attention on the role of journalism, information consumption, and misinformation in the democratic process. So we thought we'd take a look at how the folks in the Star Wars galaxy get their news and how that affects the stories that we see unfold. And let's start with kind of setting the scene a little bit, because frankly, we don't see a ton of journalists in Star Wars. They're mostly in the books and the comics. There's one in the novel Tarkin. There's one in the comic Poe Dameron. They pop up in various places, but they're not central to the story. Most of the sort of quote-unquote news media that we see is Imperial propaganda. Most of the stories that we see or have seen historically in Star Wars have taken place in the original trilogy era. And so you have folks like in Star Wars Rebels, there's Alton Castle, who's sort of the Imperial news anchor. And this is obviously a time when you would expect to see a lot of broadcasts because it's the Imperial era, and so, of course, independent media is going to be suppressed, but they need to have their own voices who are telling the stories that they want told. And I actually, when I was researching for this episode, I came across a great Washington Post article about how the reason, essentially, that Palpatine is able to rise to power is because folks in the Star Wars galaxy have terrible news literacy. They talked to a guy, actually, who wrote this sort of book that claims that everybody in Star Wars is illiterate. And that book, obviously, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but his point was this is a place where it's very deliberate that people don't have access to high-quality independent news. And he has a great quote in the article where he says that the lack of journalists is, quote, not an indictment that Star Wars is poorly written. It explains the dysfunction, unquote. In other words, it's creating the space for fake news. So not to toot our own horns here and say journalism is the journalists are the guardians of, you know, democracy, but I would love to hear from the two of you, you know, the average person in the galaxy, in the Imperial era especially, is bathed in propaganda and doesn't have access to a lot of independent, objective sources of information. How do you think that affects what they think of what's happening around them, and especially the conflict between the Imperials and the Rebels, but even other stuff too that may not be core to that conflict? I mean, what do you think we see in Star Wars that is the result of not having that access to information?
So one thing I was thinking about with this is how it can help explain a sort of little plot hole that you have from the original trilogy to the prequel trilogy, where the Jedi are basically considered a myth. Han Solo calls Jedi like an ancient religion, or maybe he's not the one who calls it an ancient religion. Someone calls it an ancient religion. I think it's Imperial, actually.
It's Tarkin, yeah.
Yeah.
Or no, it's the guy at the conference table, I think, who gets choked, right?
Who gets choked, yes. Sorry for that meander through my mind. But if there's no journalism, if the only journalism that exists is propaganda, and if there's only centralized Empire propaganda, so no local news that we know of, and the galaxy is a really big place, it's a galaxy, it makes sense that the Jedi would be quickly forgotten from memory. And it makes sense that the functional genocide of the Jedi would be so easily papered over and accepted by the larger population. Because there's no trustworthy information. It's even before the Empire, we know that the Republic in the Clone Wars did a lot of propaganda. I'm thinking of the Revenge of the Sith novelization talking about doing all the propaganda of Anakin and Obi-Wan fighting together. So the people of the galaxy have never had a trustworthy independent news source that we know of. and therefore it's really easy to see how they could forget about the Jedi and the role that they played in just two decades.
My question before I talk about this, Eric, is the argument that you referenced that like people in Star Wars are illiterate. Is it mostly like the written form? I know there are examples of like writing systems in Star Wars, and I Googled it and I see that there are storybooks for children in Star Wars, like in the canonical like Star Wars universe. So I'm like, is this person, because for me, I feel like video formats are like naturally going to be less detailed. At least in our own universe, when you watch cable news, you're going to get, maybe it's just me personally, but I retain information a lot better when it's in writing. And I feel like the written format allows for more detail. And I think we have seen a shift like in how people get their news, especially with like, you know, very short form videos on social media, as opposed to like reading an article. And I can definitely see where like it would be a less informed citizenry if everybody was getting their news from videos instead of like written, you know, the written format. So I'm curious if that was like the main thrust of the argument, or in general, if it's just like these people don't have any information at all.
Yeah, it was mostly, I think, a joke about how we don't ever see anybody reading, which is not even really true. Like Obi-Wan, when he's in the temple library, he's reading his computer screen. Like they have languages. I think it was mostly a tongue-in-cheek thing about like there's no books in Star Wars and it's all like visual content. But visual content is going to be more appealing for the viewer to watch. Like it's much more interesting to look at a screen and see on that screen that there's like multimedia happening versus looking at somebody reading a book. Like you can't really see what they're reading if you're looking at them hunched over a book, whereas if they themselves are looking at a screen, you can show what's happening on that screen. So that's like why Star Wars obviously has a lot more screens.
I do think even if it wasn't intentional, so as you say, it's just more appealing to look at screens, to on your screen, look at people looking at screens. But I do think that it's very applicable to this day and age when you consider how people get their news, particularly young people. Some crazy percentage of Gen Z are getting their news primarily from TikTok. And I think that there's a very clear connection you can draw between getting your news from TikTok and in this fictional galaxy, getting your news in short video bursts with unknown provenance. I think you clearly we're reading into it. And if you want to read into it, you can see the danger of having all of your information be presented to you in that format. And as Haley was kind of alluding to, we don't see any newspapers. We don't see any digital outlets. We know that there's the HoloNet, but like, where's the Star Wars magazines?
To defend the video format, like in our society, like there are times when like an event is captured on video that like changes everything and forces some kind of policy response.
Right.
But like the talking head style of like news delivery, I think kind of what you're saying, Grace, if there's like an influencer or someone you'd like go to that you trust, but you don't really know, like this is like the most, theoretically, it should be the most independent kind of person if it's just some random TikToker. But you don't really know like what their sponsorships are or like what their actual like affiliations or like philosophical views might be. And one thing I appreciated about the Expanse series, I feel like, Grace, you read that. I don't know if you did, Eric.
Yes.
I saw the show, but not the books.
It probably came across in the show, too. Like part of the a huge part of the information environment there is video. And I don't think they talk about like reading as much. They definitely seem a lot more informed than people in Star Wars about current events. But I remember like Holden, that's his name, right? James Holden.
Yeah.
Okay. He goes very viral by like sharing his, you know, firsthand account of the like the crash and all this, like what happens in the first book. And it seems like when you are getting most of your information from video, that like the burden is on the viewer to make sure that you have like watched everyone's opinions. You almost become like you're the journalist trying to sift through all the various different videos from people involved in the given event to like figure out which one you agree with most. And like in the written format, hopefully, theoretically, like if it's a good news organization, that person, like that journalist will have done it for you, or at least like is including all those perspectives and fact checking, hopefully. And so it's just like, I feel like you're naturally going to be a little more informed if you're reading. As long as it's a quality outlet. And of course, like the thing about news outlets, which I don't know the extent to which they exist in Star Wars. It sounds like most of them are like end up either being co-opted as like propaganda outlets, or like I think of Ezra's parents in Rebels, like they were like radio people, or at least they had like a, you know, they were talking, like podcasters, I guess you might say.
Rebel podcasters,
right? Yeah, like hopefully a news organization would be upfront about like, these are our donors, this is our perspective, like these kinds of things, to like help people sift through that. But I don't know, I feel like The Expanse was one step towards the Star Wars illiteracy that we see.
Something I think is really interesting about the like print versus broadcast divide is it's kind of a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, there's a, you know, seeing something, you know, a massacre or the destruction of a natural disaster or whatever, seeing it is more compelling. It's harder to sort of write that off as an abstraction. It's harder to just go on with your day and not care about it. Not to say it's impossible to do that after seeing it firsthand, but seeing it, I think, you know, the human brain is wired to put a lot more stock in a single person you can see on a screen as an example of a crisis, as opposed to just reading, you know, 50,000 people lost their homes or whatever. So there's a good quality that probably has inspired a lot of philanthropy and good policy change. But then on the other hand, as we see in Star Wars, broadcast media can also be used to create very vivid imagery that plays to that same, you know, short-circuiting of the critical thinking skills and, oh, those damn rebels, they blew up that civilian, you know, supply depot or whatever. Like, part of why I think, you know, the Empire was able to be so successful for so long, despite having so many obviously terrible attributes, is that they were able to smooth over the evidence of what they did and create alternative narratives that were powerful, in part because there was visual evidence. It was not just like, did you hear what happened on Planet X? Oh yeah, they told me that it was an accident, right? They would create visuals that cemented that idea. So you didn't just have to believe what somebody told you, you could believe what you were seeing. And they weren't living in a time, and part of this is just when Star Wars was made, this concept is not in most Star Wars storytelling, but they weren't living in a time when they had to think about AI and like, was this image manufactured? Like, you don't see a lot of skepticism of media in Star Wars. There's definitely times where people will be like, oh, that could have been faked, right? But that's not like an overwhelming sentiment. I don't get the sense that people are generally skeptical of what they're seeing on the broadcast feeds.
So when you think about Star Wars, especially the original trilogy, but to an extent also the prequel trilogy, both of them were influenced by George Lucas's opinions on politics at the time. And, you know, they're not exactly brilliant allegories, but it's very clear how the original trilogy was influenced by Lucas's perspective on the Vietnam War and prequels on the War on Terror and the connection there. So I think with kind of talking about how video can be important, you know, with Vietnam in particular, it's considered like the first televised war. And that was massively important to society at that time. It really contributed to a lot of the unrest of the 1960s, early 70s. It truly shaped the politics in a lot of ways. But when we see the HoloNet looking at the war, when it's the Clone Wars or when it's the Empire, it's not exactly a CBS News going to Vietnam situation. I feel like it's not showing the sort of horrors of war in the same way that you could expect a news outlet to in our galaxy and universe. It seems very much like the HoloNet and the medium of video is used to tell a certain story. And that's very powerful too when you look at how propagandists across history have used image and then more recently have used video. And now we're seeing the use of AI, which is really scary. But I feel like, yes, there is an extent to which video can be really, really important for communicating the news. But in Star Wars, that's not what's happening. It's propaganda. It's not serious video journalism.
Yeah. And the HoloNet News, which is kind of the main news broadcaster that we hear about, is it goes through this evolution that shows, like, again, even to the limited extent that there is a news media in Star Wars, the people who write these stories recognize that government control of news media can be very, very helpful for those governments over the years. And by the way, if folks are hearing HoloNet and thinking internet, not really. It's much more like a TV channel than it is like the internet, which doesn't really seem to exist in Star Wars, at least in the form that we think of it. But
I mean, that's because it was kind of pre-internet, though, when the HoloNet was sort of conceived of, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because you would think that that would be the kind of thing that they would try to, in modern stories, try to work in the idea that there might be an internet somewhere. Maybe it wouldn't be called the HoloNet, but they might try to create it some other way. But we don't actually see any effort to do that, probably because it would be hard to explain the absence of it in stories from the 70s and 80s. But, you know, they try to work in, like, species and ships that, like, they claim were just off screen, you know, in those stories from the 70s and 80s. So it wouldn't be outlandish to think of that. But the HoloNet News, you know, it was the story sort of briefly is, you know, it was this independent news channel before the Clone Wars. The Clone Wars breaks out. The Republic takes it over so that the Separatists can't sabotage it. When the Empire takes power, it becomes part of the sort of formal propaganda apparatus of the government. And there's actually a great episode of Rebels where they say that there's an imperial law that requires HoloNet News to be broadcast at all times in every drinking establishment, which I think is very funny. But then after the war ends, the New Republic, which you would think is this shining bastion of democracy and independent oversight, they actually maintain control over HoloNet News. It is still a government overseen apparatus in the New Republic era. And to me, this raises a lot of interesting questions about what kind of government the New Republic wants to be. On the one hand, you want to say, like, look, we are not the Empire. We are not going to tell you what to think, and we're not going to punish you for thinking differently. On the other hand, it's this fledgling government. It's in a fragile state. The galaxy is prone to all kinds of upheavals. You know, one wrong move could sort of topple this government. And I can kind of understand why the folks in charge, as much as they speak about the ideals of democracy, would want to prevent, you know, someone from monopolizing the media space and seeding the groundwork for, you know, what becomes the First Order. But that's kind of an interesting debate that I think that it would be more interesting to see Star Wars, you know, reckon with that a little bit more.
One interesting thing about, like, this conversation, I was listening. So I don't listen to many podcasts, but I'm pretty obsessed with The Rest Is History with, have y'all ever listened to this? Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook?
I've not.
No, I haven't.
They're two British historians, and they have done so many episodes of this. You can find any historical, like, period or event, and you can listen to it. But I was listening to the one about the series about the French Revolution, because I never learned much about this. I'm telling on my ignorance here, but I never learned much about it. And what really stood out to me about the French Revolution is that, like, the wheels really started coming off the train, like, when people were given free speech. And kind of what you're saying, Eric, is, like, if you're, like, a new government, which at one point they had kind of done the revolution in France, but they were, like, trying to keep order. And because they had given people free speech, it was just becoming impossible. Like, there was, like, there were waves to the revolution happening.
Yeah.
Like, you could never be revolutionary enough. And I feel like that, like, the New Republic would be sort of in a similar spot of, like, like, theoretically, we want to give people freedom, but, like, what's the logical, you know, conclusion of allowing people to have, like, opinions and share them? And that can be dangerous, you know?
Yeah, you see that a lot after coups and or overthrowing of dictatorships in our world too, of, well, how do you make sure that things are kept under control? And that's why part of why so often then you see the new governments that overthrow dictatorships kind of becoming dictatorships themselves, which again is very apt for conversation of the New Republic taking over the from the Empire.
And in the New Republic, they have to reckon with people who want them to go even further, because there's this whole debate about what do you do with the ex-imperials? I think that's kind of like the big issue where I could see the people who end up taking charge and have sort of a relatively moderate approach to clemency or leniency or whatever you want to call it, being challenged by people who are, I guess, to use the like modern political parlance, these would be people to the left of the New Republic government who would be saying, we need to, you know, stamp out imperial tyranny once and for all. Don't take any chances. We got to kill these people. We got to guillotine them. I'd be curious to know what the Star Wars version of the guillotine is, but that would be sort of the outcome that they'd be looking for. And the, you know, there's some really great stories. Obviously, Mandalorian deals with the idea of ex-imperials a little bit. And there's a book called Bloodline, which is one of my favorite Star Wars novels, which deals with Leia in the New Republic government having to deal with critics who are not, you know, not sold on her vision of the New Republic. And so I can totally imagine people like that who feel like they've got this hard-won freedom. They're thinking about all their friends who died to defeat the Empire, and they don't want to see it toppled by people who want to take things even further in a, you know, in what they would call an extremist direction. They want to maintain control over the media because this is the sort of place where people could either get radicalized or get anesthetized, or however you want to describe it, get sort of talked down off the ledge.
To be clear, I support free speech.
Yes,
I was just very important. Wait, what if a listener like hears me? I just find it interesting historically, and what you're saying, Eric, I agree with, and I think like one of the other like logical conclusions of having free speech, and we kind of saw it in Andor, is it would be like why does anyone want to be in charge of this many planets? and I feel like if people on a given planet felt like they could freely and openly share their opinions, it would be a much more like, ultimately, it would be a lot more independent, like states, like planets. But I don't know. I think it would be good for the people of Star Wars to have journalism and freedom of speech.
So this actually brings me to one of the things I was thinking about as I was contemplating this topic, which is that not only does Star Wars not seem to have a very good galactic news environment, it doesn't seem like there's any local news. And we know in our own world, our own country, how the death of local news has been really devastating for local communities and local democracy. And you see that in state and local governments being undercovered. You see that with disaster coverage, having local reporters be completely stretched thin because there are so few of them. And we know that when there are fewer local outlets, that democracy is less healthy. And in the galaxy, it doesn't seem like there's any real local news apparatus. No wonder the Hutts are able to own Tatooine. There's no local journalist keeping them accountable. All we see are the pod racer announcers, and they do not count.
To be fair, there might have been at one point, and he was thrown in the pit.
Yeah, I mean, they might have all just been killed. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, that also is a very real thing that journalists face in our world. But I think when you think about how much happens in Star Wars and how complacent people are, and we've seen that in a few of the Star Wars shows that take place during the Empire period, how there are a lot of resistors, but then there are a lot of people who are like, Empire, Republic, whatever, it doesn't make a difference to me. And if they had a healthy local news outlet, would they still feel that way? Who's to say? So I think there should be planetary local news.
And part of that is, like, as much as we Star Wars fans end up like thinking a lot about things that happen on Coruscant and like the big battles between good guys and bad guys. The people who are in power obviously make decisions that ripple out to the planets. I mean, the Republic, obviously, with, you know, not stopping slavery on Tatooine, which is sort of beyond its influence, that has real ramifications for people living on Tatooine. And under the Empire, obviously, slavery is very much not just allowed, but also practiced by the government. I mean, they built the Death Star with Wookiee slave labor. And so if you think about being a person on one of these planets and seeing things happening around you, but perhaps not understanding why it's happening or just not even knowing the details of it, because like something I think about a lot is like every planet, and this is going to sound kind of stupid, but like every planet is like a full planet's worth of people. Like think about if our planet, if there was like two or three things happening on our planet, big trends, like big, like destructive acts or whatever, but they were happening on the other side of the world and we did not have the internet, we didn't have any form of media, would we know about them at all? Like, would we have any way of learning about them? Unless it's like they drilled into the planet's core and we got like volcanic eruptions everywhere and we could kind of figure out like something's kind of happening here. If it's not like physically affecting our geography, our lives, would we know if something were happening on the other side of the planet without these news sources? And this is an entire galaxy full of societies like that, where you could be on the other side of a physical planet that far away from things and not know that it's happening. And I do think that helps explain some degree of apathy about, or even denial about, what the Empire is up to specifically, because it's got its tendrils in all these places. It's doing horrible things. We obviously watch the movies and read the books and see the bad things, and we see the rebels saying they're doing the bad things. But if you're just a regular person, it would be hard to imagine like how you could put together that picture and understand the scope of what's happening around you without local news.
Yeah, imagine the expose of a good news article on the situation in Andor where the prison labor is making parts of the Death Star. That would be huge.
Yeah, and also like, you know, you mentioned making parts for the Death Star, and of course that makes me think about how much of this would be classified and brutally cracked down on by the Empire if you tried to report on some of these things. I mean, mostly what we're talking about here on this episode is like, if you were to try reporting on this, you would be handled the Star Wars equivalent of, you know, that's classified and we're going to talk to your publisher and get you shut down. I mean, most of these stories that we're discussing are about the war. They're about military operations. It would probably be very difficult for any kind of journalist, local or working with a galactic outlet, to even be able to report on some of these things. And we touched on it earlier, the idea of journalists facing mortal peril. That's something that happens in the real world, but God, it would be even more centralized and efficient and deadly when the adversary is the galactic government and they don't have to make any, they don't have to pretend that they respect free press. Like, they don't have to really do this behind the scenes. They can just out and out kill you. And there's very little apparatus around you that will sort of speak up and say, where is this person? Free them. Justice for this person. Like, that apparatus doesn't seem to exist at all in Star Wars.
Eric, there's a character that you've put in the like show notes here that I want to talk about, because this character reminded me of a real life person whose memoir I had read. You mentioned a short story about a reporter for HoloNet News who like wrestles sort of with the moral dilemma of report, like being a part of a propaganda outlet, and also like sort of a dawning awareness of this is like a totalitarian, like fascist government that I'm working for. At least like I'm putting words into your mouth here, but this is the vibe that came across in the note.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a Uyghur woman who worked for a Chinese like state broadcaster for many years, who wrote a memoir called a Stone is Most Precious Where It Belongs, or something like that. Her name is Gulchehra Hoja. And her story, like, I feel like it really emphasizes just the, even if you're working for a propaganda outlet, the act of doing journalism and like talking to other people and going to interview other people, like it really does open up, it opens up like questions and information, even if you're not looking for it. And like that really led her to sort of wonder
like, why are things the way that they are in this place where people are being oppressed? And of course, we know today that, you know, atrocities and crimes against humanity and genocide have happened there. But she sort of recounts her experience of, like, having worked at this propaganda outlet. And then there's, like, a lot of pushback when she starts to, like, dig into conditions for children in some of this region. And, like, she's asking questions that she doesn't even understand are radical or that she doesn't even understand challenge the government in any way. To her, it's just, like, a logical outflow of the act of doing the reporting. And what I found interesting about, like, your note there is it seems like a similar situation where it's like you might not even be setting out to challenge the state that you were like working for as a member of this, you know, media outlet, but the more people you come into contact with and the more like information that you might have the privileged right to see as a journalist, as a propagandist for this outlet, like leads you to ask questions about what's the deal with this government, you know.
Absolutely. It's a great it's a short story in Star Wars Insider magazine. And it's really fun because it does take this idea of, okay, the Empire is obviously very locked down. They're not broadcasting the truth about what they're doing. But if you are working for HoloNet News, you will probably come across the truth. And then the question becomes, do you care more about your job or the truth? And this reporter has an interesting approach to resolving that dilemma, and I won't spoil it if anybody wants to go read the short story, but it does get at exactly what you were saying, Haley, this idea that journalists are privileged to be empowered to and able to learn things that other people don't know, and obviously the goal is to then tell that to other people, but if you are somebody who's been, again, bathed in imperial propaganda, grown up under the Empire, indoctrinated by the Empire, that process of starting to recognize what is real and what part of your life is essentially a facade, that's such a compelling premise for fiction. And the story you told obviously is true. It's not just entertainment, but this is an example of a fictional version that really gets at this idea of the responsibility of a journalist, but also the dawning horror of a member of the Empire who starts to figure out what the truth is. Because they're not all Tarkin, right? A lot of them genuinely believe the information that they've been given by, again, the propaganda machine.
It also raises questions about ethics and journalistic ethics, which I know is something that real journalists struggle with every day. What is not just, you know, what is right and what is true, but when we talk about keeping sources anonymous and learning and our sort of system of off the record, on background, on the record, and if you don't have those kinds of baseline principles, that makes it a lot harder to convey information. You're unable to tell a story in an ethical way, I feel like, if you don't have some of these baseline rules. And then, of course, there are questions that we struggle with, like, should someone be kept anonymous, and sort of what are the conditions that go into that. But I think that the fact that, as far as we know, there aren't any baseline rules about what journalism is and where the lines should be drawn, I think that would necessarily create a system where journalism and propaganda are sort of indistinguishable from each other.
And we see examples of that with pretty much all the journalists that we actually see in Star Wars. I mean, we talked about that person who is working for the Empire and you know, again, not going to spoil the choices that she makes. But I mentioned there's a journalist in the Poe Dameron comic, and she's a woman who basically embeds with Poe Dameron's squadron, and she uses her broadcast to sort of show the galaxy the truth of the First Order. And in the High Republic comics and books, which are ongoing, there's a journalist who is captured by the villains and basically forced to become a broadcaster of their propaganda. But she puts messages in her broadcast. She kind of embeds them in there that spread the idea of resistance. These are not independent, objective news reporters. These are advocates for the what we would call the good guys, right? And so it's interesting to me that, like, Star Wars really doesn't find it interesting to show, like, true objective journalism. That's not, like, compelling as a narrative function. You really want these people, if they're there, if they're practicing some kind of what we would call journalism, they should be, like, kind of on team good guy, like, spreading the good word, you know, fight back, resist, like, here's the truth that's going on out there. And I think that's just interesting that, like, there seems to be some feeling that it's not interesting to watch a person who's just trying to only tell the truth and keep messaging out of it. They always have to be sort of attached to our heroes to some degree.
I mean, I think if you don't read the news very often and if you don't know any journalists, a lot of Americans at least assume that that's the case with every reporter, like that you're rooting for a side or that you're like beholden to a like a, I don't know, an ideology, which is one thing I do like about like news outlets that are clearly, they have said we are coming from this angle, but we're going to try to be objective and like we're disclosing to you like what our approach is and what our like pre-existing, you know, thoughts on our political philosophy is. I think that's useful for readers, especially if a publication does have one. But I do think like most people really just don't believe that a like an unbiased, you know, objective reporter exists.
And I think that's, you know, true, because
we're people.
And something, when we talk about objective journalism in our own world, objective, it's kind of like objective for who? Look at who staffs a newsroom, look at where they're from, what school did they go to, what is their perspective, what was their upbringing, are they the kid of journalists, do they have some family connection to people in power? And for the answer for a lot of journalists is yes. Mm-hmm. And you look at what are the stories that get told, it depends so much on who is in the newsroom and the perspective that they bring. And journalists are people. And I think this is something that we all really wrestle with, is trying to find a way to take all of that into account and convey the truth as best we can. And instead of, you know, trying to bury our biases, just like not give in to our biases, but not ignore them either. I'm not explaining that very well.
Follow the facts.
Yes, exactly.
And by not ignoring like your like where you're coming from, it helps you to correct for it.
Right. Exactly.
This is the benefit of having editors,
yeah,
who have their own like perspectives, and especially the benefit of having like, if you're doing an investigation, having a legal help and
exactly
attorneys, and like there's a lot of production that goes into journalism, and like iron sharpens iron, and a team really does help make the editorial voice and the like the as objective as you can get, or as and I think a better word often is just fair.
Yeah, fair is a good word.
And truthful, right?
Truthful, yeah.
Star Wars raises a really interesting question, is about what we think about objectivity, and the clear, if there is a clear delineation of good guys and bad guys, which in our world is not Star Wars, that often is not the case. But this is something that I know a lot of journalists wrestle with, of how much should you call out a lie when it's a lie? What kind of language are you permitted to use? How far can you go without being unfair or untruthful or
sued for defamation?
Yeah, or sued for libel. So that's really interesting to think about, if there's just not these baseline rules at all about ethics and journalism, then you don't really have to worry about that. You can just embed with a rebel or New Republic group and be like, yeah, these are the good guys doing the good thing. Because in a situation like that, how do you both sides the empire? it's hard.
That's the real sort of challenge about having this conversation in Star Wars, is that it's a fictional universe and so many of the characters are created to just either represent good or evil. Like, not to say that, like, there's, like, Luke Skywalker's never done anything wrong in his life, but, like, nobody would sit there and say, like, well, you know, the Empire probably has some good qualities that we're just not seeing in the Star Wars stories, and I wish we'd see more of that. Like, that's not... Nobody's saying that. Like, unlike in the real world, where, like, the worst people in human history, they weren't born evil. They weren't created out of whole cloth evil. Like, it's not like Darth Vader was created as a character to represent evil. And then over time, that became more complicated. But, like, people in the real world are born and they grow up and then they become what they end up being. Fiction doesn't work that way. You can have journalists in Star Wars who are embedding with the rebels and saying, look at that evil empire. And nobody really questions that watching it, because we know, okay, empire bad. We don't apply that sort of nuanced moral framework. And that's not a criticism of, I'm just saying, like, it's meant to evoke good versus evil. So it's not problematic to see people on the good guy team being journalists and broadcasting the bad guys and saying, look at them, they're so bad. Because it's a different environment than in the real world, where there are often more sides to the story. And of course, sometimes there's not, right? I mean, Haley, you mentioned earlier the Uyghurs, right? Like, there are times when just telling the truth will inevitably paint a picture that does not, either doesn't make a certain person look good or does make a certain person look good. And that's not always the result of bias, right? If you're just telling the truth, you will often end up saying things that make certain people look good or bad. I don't think that there's any reason to think these journalists in Star Wars are necessarily bad people, because they're teaming up with the good guys. And again, that goes back to that moral clarity question. The other thing I want to say is, we've talked about how, oh, there aren't independent journalists. We haven't seen any independent journalists. It's all HoloNet news. And yet, at the end of the Republic, in the prequel era, it is widely understood among the general public that the Republic Senate is totally corrupt, that, you know, the bureaucrats are inefficient, that the people with the money are pulling the strings. How would that have come out without independent journalism? I would be curious to know, where do you think that's coming from? Somebody's got to be broadcasting these exposés, whether it's like a TMZ or something like that. There's got to be some level of independent journalism, because somebody has to be telling those stories that the government would not want told, unless it's all like rumor mill, I heard it from a friend of a friend of a friend of a senator.
Well, I would think this actually doesn't, I don't have any issue with this at all. I think this makes a lot of sense, because think about how ordinary people who don't really pay attention to politics think about politics, which is they're all corrupt and they don't care about us and they don't actually do anything for us. And, you know, you were just raising the example, Eric, of slavery in Tatooine. You live on Tatooine. You don't need a news outlet to tell you the Empire doesn't give a hoot about you, or the Republic doesn't give a hoot about you, because you already know that, because you live on Tatooine in a wretched hive of scum and villainy. And I'm sure that every planet has that. If you have such a decentralized government that is messy and complicated, as we know it is, and that also kind of seems to be terrible at doing anything, as we know it is, it makes sense to me completely that people would just be like, yeah, they suck, they're corrupt, without there needing to be a robust news atmosphere.
So for you, it's like they heard it through the grapevine, or they experienced it firsthand.
I mean, it's not even heard it through the grapevine. It's their own experiences.
Right. Yeah, I'm thinking a little bit more, though, of those, like, those things where you wouldn't necessarily experience it yourself. I mean,
but
certainly,
like, Eric, for example, like, I feel like in the Clone Wars, we see people give speeches a lot. And, like, if you watch a speech from Padme Amidala complaining about, like, a corrupt moment happening in the Senate, which was, like, every other week, you know, like...
Oh, how many Clone Wars episodes started that way?
Right, like, maybe they're just trusting their local representative, like, in her assessment of the situation. But, like, that goes back to what I was saying. It's, like, I feel like a lot of younger people, their news consumption is from, like, a trusted person who's giving their opinion, and it's not necessarily reporting. And I, like, that kind of thing, like kind of like the Expanse universe, where it's like you're watching the video of someone you like find interesting or an influencer. Like, I feel like that it could be that kind of situation in that case in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, especially when so many of those folks would be like big personalities, right? Like Padme's life story, I think, would make her very, very famous, even outside of Naboo, right? Like, I think she'd be kind of like AOC, where it's like you either love her or you hate her, but you know who she is. And she is polarizing because she's speaking out about certain things. I think that is probably a source of information for a good number of the people who are paying attention. But that makes me wonder how many people are paying attention, because I think disaffection and apathy is a huge part of this. And that's actually a question I had for you, which is, I think a big part of the reason why there isn't a strong depiction of independent journalism is because if there was one, Palpatine probably would not have been able to take power. I don't think he would have been able to turn the public against the Jedi if we'd had independent investigative journalists out there who were digging into the truth of what happened when, you know, Mace Windu showed up into his office to confront him. Like, he's able to lie about that because, first of all the other participants are dead or they're Anakin slash Vader. But also, there's no apparatus for sort of checking on that. There's no way to, like, nobody's, like, out there trying to find the security camera feeds or anything like that. So I think a lot of his success specifically is built on the fact that nobody is out there presenting an alternative perspective to what he says. And during the Republic, it's separatist bad. But then when the Empire rises, it's Jedi bad. And either way, nobody is out there actually investigating if specific things that he's saying are true. So I don't think that his rise would have been quite so easy with independent journalism.
That's a great point. And it's something that I have seen in real life as well. Like, I'm not talking about Palpatine or the Supreme Chancellor taking power, but there have been times where I have reached out to like congressional staff to ask about like oversight of a law that the Congress passed. And they're like, well, that's kind of up to like journalists now. And I'll be like, what? What are you talking about? Like, this is the law you passed and you have oversight of like this administration and of the executive agencies that are rolling it out. But like when you don't have as many resources, like Congress, it's like staffers have other work to do, or there's not enough capacity, or there's so much turnover. Like, lawmakers constantly are leaving, staff are constantly leaving. There have been numerous times where I've been like, are you guys looking into this at all? And it's like, no, but I'm glad you're asking about it. Like, this is what the press exists for. So there are definitely, in the real world, there are times where it's like oversight is not going to happen unless there is a journalist who is like very, very interested in a very niche issue who's going to ask questions about it.
Grace, do you think that the Trade Federation would have been able to get away with the invasion of Naboo for as long as they did if there had been like one journalist in the sector who flew over there to like take pictures of the invasion fleet and maybe like send those back to Coruscant?
Yeah, I mean, we know that Padme's speech is to the Senate in Phantom Menace. She's like begging for assistance and no one really cares at all. You know, maybe if they just had a photojournalist show up and be like, hey, this is happening. Because also I think the Trade Federation denies it too, if I recall correctly.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, if you have one person show up and be like, hey, there actually is a blockade here, guys. Which actually also kind of raises a question of why the Republic didn't do anything about that. I guess political reasons, because everything is politics in the prequels, for better or worse. But yeah, I think it's kind of like local news all over again. If there was a robust local news network that was bolstered by a galactic-wide news network, then, you know, the prequels might never have happened. We would never have had Palpatine or Darth Vader. So really, the real takeaway here is that journalism could have prevented everything in Star Wars from happening.
But doesn't that also make you sad that, like, Star Wars needs, like, a lack of journalists in order to keep telling stories? Because so many of these stories would just be completely implausible if there was one person to take pictures or, like, write something down and say, like, that's actually not true. Like, I as a journalist, it's kind of sad knowing that we're never really going to see anybody like us doing what we do as part of the story, because it would undermine a lot of the lies that have to be told to make these stories work.
I mean, Yes, that is sad that we will never see true Star Wars journalists. But at the same time, I am less bummed out about that than I might be for other fiction properties, because as we have talked about before, including this very episode, Star Wars has a really clear morality, and most of the time it has really clear things it's trying to say with varying degrees of complexity. And if journalism isn't a part of that, then, you know, that's just the way the story is told. And fundamentally, it is a story. And I will let go of my sadness over journalism being excluded in order to enjoy the larger themes of the story.
All right, well, I have a kind of a fun question that I want to wrap up with. But before I get to that, is there anything else that we want to discuss that we haven't gotten to yet? Or I could just roll into this little question.
I just want to say journalism is good.
Heck yeah, it is.
Bold take. Haley really coming in with the controversial opinion here at the end. So, you know, we talked a little bit about local news. There's something that Grace put in the show notes about, like, what are the non-HoloNet news outlets out there? And you mentioned the idea of having a newsletter or a space blog. So I want to end with a quick round robin on, if you had a newsletter in Star Wars, a Substack or whatever, what would it be about? And I'll go first because I have mine ready and I want to give you some time to think. Mine would be, I would go around the galaxy. This would have to happen outside of the Imperial era, but I would go around the galaxy talking to people who say that they have met Jedi. And I would ask them what it was like, how did the Jedi help them, what did they do, what are they going to remember about the experience? Because I feel like the Jedi in Star Wars, even when they're not being hunted as traitors, are, first of all, very few people have met them. So they're these larger-than-life characters. But there doesn't seem to be anything more than like an oral history of passing down stories about them. And I feel like if I were in Star Wars, I would be amazed by these people. And I would also want to document this and have some collection of records about who they are and what they do. And because we're not in the Jedi Council chambers and we don't know what their specific goals and policies are, the best we can do is put together a record of where they've been, what they've been focusing on. And I think it would be kind of cool to just have like a long list of like Substack posts, basically, of like, here is a Jedi who saved this town from, like, you know, a mining disaster or whatever, and talked to people who were like, yeah, he was like a super nice guy. He was just like kind of just like us, except he had magical powers. I think it would be really fun to sort of humanize them in that way. Hopefully I gave you both enough time to come up with something interesting, but if not, you can always just say you love my idea and agree with it.
I was going to do a joke first, which was I would do a pod racing blog.
Now, this is blog racing.
No, this is... Oh, that'd be so good. No, this is blog racing. That would be beautiful. But no, actually, what I think I would do would be kind of like the equivalent of campaign journalism, where you go to a state and talk to voters, only you go to a planet and talk to people about their planet's biggest issue, and what they hope the Republic or the Empire would do about it. So again, going back to Tatooine, you could go to Tatooine and write about the Hutts and how they're ruining the planetary economy there. Like, you could go to planets where they're focused on agriculture or on mining and see how the local economy is affected by the overarching decisions by the federal galactic government. So that's what I think I'd want to do.
So I'm torn in multiple directions. I think, like, because the local news scene is so devoid, like, to actually make a difference, I would just choose a planet, probably Lothal, because it's very close to my heart. And I would just, like, stay there and like, write about Lothal. But, like, ideologically, I would want to examine like abuses of power, like the actual like hard-hitting investigative reporting that is written down and not like a video thing, or like a mixed media, like writing and videos. I don't know. I feel like, you know, we talk about like slavery and like the places where the Empire has, or the like the Republic, any of the governments are failing to protect, like, to uphold its own values, and so I would
Like if I'm taking this answer, like question seriously, I would do that kind of reporting. But if I'm answering from the heart, it would be like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
There we
and
go. I knew it. I knew it. I was waiting for it. We're here at the very end of the episode. It took us 54 minutes, but I knew it.
I would write a food blog and I would visit all, I mean, you'd have to have like means, you'd have to have wealth to go visit all the places and eat there. But I would be writing about like the hole in the wall, like noodle joint in the space bread on Jakku. It's the dream.
I would subscribe to that newsletter for sure.
Thank you. I like your idea too, Eric. I just think so many Star Wars stories are like the Jedi have failed. And so when you first shared it, like humanizing Jedi, like I think there's an instinctive, if you're a young person, you're like, but the Jedi like have failed. You need to like hold them accountable. So like my initial instinct in response to yours is like, but also like, you know, write down where they fail.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there would be situations where the story would be like they came here to help, but they couldn't help, right?
Yeah.
Or they had to leave because they were called back to do something that they thought was more important, right? I mean, it wouldn't just be a series of successes.
Oh, the other thing is I would really love to do like a religion blog and like...
Ooh, yeah.
Like, what the heck is the Force? What is this all about?
Embed with the Night Sisters.
Right. And like talk to real people about like... Okay, you can like use your broom. You can like lift up your broom in the air. Like, what does that mean for you spiritually? How do you conceive of the universe after doing that?
Exclusive interview with Broom Boy. I believe in you. I think you could do it.
It would be great.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Hoth Takes. If you want to share your thoughts about this episode or suggest topics for future shows, you can email us at hothtakes@gmail.com or find us on Twitter. We are at hothtakes. I'm Eric Geller on Twitter. Grace is Grace_Seekers and Haley is Burdenator. And I guess I should have said X instead of Twitter. Anyway, Haley made our wonderful logo and banner art, and I edited the show and put together our music. Although, as always, for legal purposes, we have to point out all Star Wars music and sound effects are the intellectual property of Lucasfilm. You can find a complete archive of past episodes on our website, hothtakes.wordpress.com. And hey, if you like the show, please share it with a friend. You can find Hoth Takes on all the major podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We will see you next time. May the Force be with you.